Welcome, everybody, to the Walt Weekly Podcast. We are on our fourth season of the Walt Weekly. We're excited about that. And we're returning back from the summer break. We hope everyone out there is enjoying their summer. And we're looking forward to more great shows and future guests. Awesome. Okay. How you doing, Walt? How you doing, Walter? It's been a minute.
Oh, yeah. It's been too long. Forward.
Yeah, so much going on out there in the community and in the world. So we have a lot to talk about in future shows and, of course, today's show.
Absolutely. I know I've missed, you know, the Friday Night Live. I missed the Monday Night Live. I miss our guests. Right. You know, above all, I miss our interchange. And, yes. You know, with this fourth season that we're starting now, we look for some very exciting guests, very exciting topic. And we're back, folks.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can say. We are back.
We are back. Had an awesome summer. Still going on. We only got a couple of weeks. It went so fast, though. So just looking forward to, discussing everything that's been going on. There's a lot that's been going on over the summer, throughout the summer, around the world, around our city and our community. So it's so much out there to tap into.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of big news that's going on. But I do want to go back, step back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And just talk about the topic of the day, and then we're going to branch off from there to cover some of these issues that are critical, you know, to us as a community.
Right.
And, you know, first off, you know, the topic for today is, you know, I don't know whether y'all guys saw it or not, but I read it somewhere, I overheard it, but I went and I did a little research on T.D. Jakes. All right, I know everybody knows him. He's a reverend out of North Carolina.
Yes.
And he had said, all right, he said that, are we raising our women to be men? Are we raising our women to be men? And that struck me, you know, because I have a daughter. All right. And, you know, what do you think about that?
Wow, that's a tough statement to make. Are we raising our women to be men? As a female, you know, I'm old school. So I'm old school. No, I don't think that's a good, you know, depends on what he was referring to, you know.
Well, I went back and I looked at the video to make sure that I didn't take him out of context, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he goes on to say within that video, and if y'all guys look in the show notes, I put a link to that YouTube video. So it'll be in the link of the show notes of this show. Okay. He goes on to say that real men pour in, meaning real men contribute.
Right.
Okay. Meaning that they are providers, protectors, mm-hmm. and leaders of the household.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Now, I agree to a certain extent, but I look at it like this. If women are, you know, taking the lead right now, let them take the lead.
Nothing wrong with that.
All
right. They can, you know, most of the time, you know, unfortunately, a lot of women make more money than men do. So that's taking a toll on men as well. You know, it's ironic because, you know, back in the day, you know, prior to, I'd say like the 90s, men were in that position because, you know, old school training, you know, men were providers at one point. And, you know, and you know, women took care of the household or whatever the situation was. But right now, because educational opportunities are not there for men, you know, or work opportunities are not there for our men, you know, it's hard for them. Women are prone to get degrees before men now. So they're out there getting the better job, you know, and sometimes that's a big insecurity with men, with their woman making more money than them. You know, you have a lot of house husbands now, to be honest. So it's not that they're being trained to do it. They don't have a choice.
So what you're saying is men have a choice to be
a provider. No, I mean the woman has no choice to be the provider now because it's hard for men out there these days. I mean, look at the arrest rates in our community, you know, the wrongful arrest, the wrongful convictions that they have, and they're breaking up the family. You know, it's nothing different in a Black community in reference to our men. When it concerns our men, it's always been that way. It's just getting worse because they, you know, they get arrested for something they didn't do, or they're arrested for something they did do and they broke up their own family. So the woman has to step up and do what the man can't do, unfortunately.
And that's true. That's true. And what do you think about the career, you know, being the first and foremost in women's lives right now?
Career first? I have no choice, right? Depending on what career they have. You know, it could be medical, it could be legal. You know, depending on their financial situation, they may be putting their career ahead of family because they have no choice but to provide. And they might be in a single family household, you know what I mean, where she has kids, she's not getting support from her, from the baby daddy or whatever the situation is. The money is needed. You know, the economy is very high. You know, and most of the times, both parents are not even around to take care of the children because they're working so hard to provide for these children. You know,
so, well, I was looking,
you know,
at some...
it could have a lot of scenarios with it, but a lot of women choose their careers over family life now.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And then I'm going to drill down a little bit more on that. All right. Now, I got this from Pew Research. Is that the effects of racism have left well-educated Black women with a paucity, meaning a small amount of Black partners, right? Mm-hmm. According to Brookings Institute data, Black men are less likely than Black women to have completed high school, and 50% less likely to have attained a four-year degree.
Right.
All right. Yet, despite this shortage of suitable Black partners, Black women have been the least likely. This is what really I was surprised about. Black women are the least likely to marry into another race.
Really?
Right. They'd rather go it alone.
Wow.
Now, I didn't know that.
They're
the least
either.
Likely to cross over.
I'm shocked about that because I've seen, you know, being on social media a lot, you see a lot of interracial marriages with Black women.
Yeah.
Marrying,
yeah,
you know, out of their culture. Wow.
Yeah. I would think so too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was shocked. Yeah, I'm they'd rather just not be married and they just pursue it on their own.
Wow.
Which is a downside too, because the family unit is broken. I mean,
but it's broken. And there's, yeah, you're right. That leads into, I mean, I you know what? It's true, because I know a lot of women that are just single, working. You know, this generation, I don't know what generations they're up to with X and Z and all of that stuff, but I did notice that a lot of people, especially in the working industry and apartment wise, they're sharing apartments. Like they'll get 3-4 bedrooms and they'll have 3-4 roommates, you know, and it's majority of it is women and single women, and one guy will be in the apartment. So a lot of things have changed due to the economy. You cannot afford it, you know. Even if you're making good money, it's hard. Who could pay $3,000-$4,000 in rent? So
yeah,
that has a lot to do with it too. Like, you know, that's why they're single, because, you know, either the man they're with can't afford to, you know, maintain with them an apartment. And also, the values of marriage doesn't exist anymore. You know, Walter, you're going on, what, over 30 years in your marriage, right?
Right, absolutely.
I've been with my mate 24 years. You know, there's no longevity in relationships anymore. No one has patience for that. You know why? Because everything is a monetary thing, materialistic. You can't afford it, so marriages break up for financial reasons.
Yeah, well, they say the number one cause of divorce is finance.
It's finance. That's always been the cause. Always been the cause. But, you know, what the difference is, back then, you figured it out. You made a way. You stayed together to work it out, to make it happen. These days, oh, well, you can't pay this, that, and the other. I don't need you. That's the mentality. There's a difference with the mentality. You know, it's not like we're going to do this together. It's me, myself, and I these days. So
absolutely. Yeah, I agree
that's why
you.
A lot of relationships don't last, because, you know, they get into one fight over finances or one fight over something simple, and they're just throwing in the towel. You know, no one, you know, my aunt and uncle have been together 76 years. They've celebrated their anniversary last week.
Yeah.
76 years. Now, it hasn't been always blissful. Nothing is. It's how you get through it. Right? These days, they don't want to get through it. You know, it's a disaster. Oh, I don't want to be with you anymore, so I'd rather be single.
Right, you don't want to stand.
They even get married. They don't even want to stand the wave, you know, to ride the wave out to see, can we get through this? They don't want to do that. So that's another reason why a lot of these women are single. A lot of these women are so independent, not financially depending on men, because they could do it themselves, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I always say that a marriage has to be tested. I mean, you're going to be all lovey-dovey, money's flowing, bills are paid, you know.
Right.
But a marriage is never tested until you get to, you know, where you don't think you're going to survive and you got to come together and fight. That's where a marriage is tested. Up until then, you know, you basically, you know, just skiing down the side of the mountain. You're not tested.
True. And you know what? Nothing is perfect. You don't really know people until something happens, right? You could live with somebody for 50 years, but they never, within that 50 years, you didn't experience everything. You don't know what their reaction is going to be until you experience it and how they're going to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that lockdown brought out a lot of that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know that, right? That lockdown.
It did.
Oh, I don't like the way you brush your teeth. I mean, wow,
right.
You do that all the time?
I'm seeing more. I don't like my kids. you know, telling the teachers, this guy did a video on crying, apologizing to his children's school. I didn't know my kids were this damn bad. So, you know, yeah, because you're not dealing with them or seeing your mate every day. I mean, my situation in my marriage, it got better. Like, we actually like each other, so... You know, we knew to give each other space when it was needed. You know, we don't even have to say it. So you just got to respect each other's space. But yeah, when you're locked down 24/7, a lot of people got divorced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know this guy, you know, or whatever, that he did this or she did that.
Right.
Yeah. It was up front, close and center, you know, because. You know, when you go to work early in the morning, you come back late at night. Yeah, you don't know that person.
You don't know that person because you're not with them all day. And you don't know your children because you're not with them all day. You know, family life is it's a lot of work. You know, teachers, not only are they educating your child, they're also babysitters, unfortunately. So you're not dealing with this child or husband or wife because the job is dealing with them all day, right?
So, that's right.
Yeah, so you really don't know each other 100% unless you have to be around each other 24/7. And that's you know, it's not an easy thing to do, to be around somebody, see the same person all the time. Ah, you know, I'm sick of you. I don't want to be bothered with you. I'm going to toss you away like a toy. It doesn't work like that in reality.
Yeah, put down that remote.
Exactly. Pay attention to them damn kids. Clean up the house. Make some dinner. You know, it's a lot of work. You know, I mean, I was in the mode when we were on lockdown, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we were getting fat. I said, I have never had weight like this before. But when you're still, you're not mobile, you're not doing anything.
That's right. That's right. You're not running for the ferry or the train.
It changes. Yeah. It changes everything. It changes your mode. It changes your lifestyle. You know, and I'm, to be honest, trying to get out of that mode. You know, I was working, I was busy last week, and I mean, I was exhausted because I wasn't used to that much activity. So, but, you know, gets back into, you know, being in relationships as married couple or non-married, you know, just living with somebody. It's not an easy task, you know, and getting back onto the financial situation, it's a tough situation when you have financial difficulties in a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, circling back to what you said earlier about, you know, the woman making more than the man. And I'm from the old school, you know that. Yeah. And I know there was a short period of time where my wife made more than me. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most miserable times of my life.
Was it?
I didn't like it. I really did not like it.
Why? Because she didn't have to depend on you for anything?
No, she was making more than me. I mean, our money, you know, we always put it together. But still, she was bringing in more than me.
Wow.
And that was an ego thing. I mean, looking back at it now, it's more my male ego, my machismo, yeah. My machismo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like I'm the man. I was that way as well, my husband. So yeah, I can see it, you know, because there's times when I'll pay for it. No, I got it, you know, like that. So it does hurt your ego, and if you're, you know, raised that way, like you are, you know, from the South, the way you were raised, Lyle's family's from the South. You're trained to take care of your family, right? You're trained to be the head of the household, you know, take care of these responsibilities. This is my responsibility. You know, these days, they're not trained to even take care of themselves. These men, you know, these young men, boys, I'll call them boys because they're not really men when they're not, you know, it's how you train that child. It's how you train that child. Like you trained your children, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Responsible. You know, you trained them. You know, there's a difference in training boys and there's a difference in training girls. So you train them the best of your ability for them to be responsible, learn how to be responsible and live on their own so they don't have to come back, be dependent or be a bum to their mate. You train your children that way. And that's the way I'm training my son. My parents trained me that way. But you don't have a lot of that going on. You know why? Because this generation, their parents started too damn early where they didn't know any better. Or they didn't have that training, I'll call it big mama. They didn't have big mama like we did.
Like I did. Right.
We had a village raising us. You know, these days they don't have a village or they don't want that village to tell them how to train their kids. You know, there's a big difference in the generations on how they are taught, what they're taught, what they're told, you know, how their household is being ran, you know, no discipline. These kids have no discipline. They don't clean up. They're lazy. You know, technology really ruined them. So,
well, you know what I think? Going back to T.D. Jakes for a second, that the man should pour in. All right, pour in, which is, synonymous with contribute, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a man, he should add to it, mm-hmm. all right, and take the lead. Mm-hmm. But times have changed. Times have changed.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely. It has, of course it has. It has changed drastically. Drastically has changed. And people are not paying attention, you know, but I mean, the women have no choice going back to that. You know, they have to survive. They have because they want to live that their boyfriends or their mate cannot afford for them. So.
I look at it like, I look at it like this. It's a matter of survival, you know, because you can't look at us as any other group. We don't have generational wealth that passed down 200-300 years. You know, we're not Philip Morris or Ford or Rockefellers or anybody like this. You know, so we have to look at it in terms of, okay, it takes two to tango here. You know, we got to face the world as a team.
Right.
Okay. Whoever brings in the most good, but it all goes into one pot because we have to face all the dangers out there.
Of course.
I think it would have been better if he had said something along then. But then again, that just was indicative of the old way of thinking, which I can look back and say that, I think I was a little progressive even when I was young. When I first met my wife, I would not go out with a woman that did not have a job.
Right.
I mean, what can we do?
Yeah, and a generation before that, didn't go out with women that were independent. They wanted a stay-at-home wife, right?
Yeah,
generation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need to.
My parents were. They were like, my dad didn't want my mother to work at all. So, you know, but financially, she was like, no, I don't want to struggle. You know, we got 8 kids here.
Yeah, that, absolutely. We got that's it.
Income in here. You know, this is not realistic.
Absolutely.
So it depends on the circumstances, the situation. And then you have some men that don't give a damn their wife, or they may make more than them. They have no, because they live off the women. I'll say that much. Because I know a few people taking care of their men. Because they want that status of having a man, regardless of what the circumstances are. That's another problem that I have with women taking care of men, sitting on their asses doing nothing.
Hmm.
And I guess they figured, well, women do it. Why can't we? Depends on the mentality of that person, right?
Yeah, it depends on the mentality, how they were raised, what their environment was,
mm-hmm.
what they learned to accept. You know, what is the status quo, right?
Right.
Okay. And so, you know, within that, I would like to say narrow field of view is that, they say, yeah, it's good. They let a woman take care of me, buy me a car.
Right.
You know, make sure I'm sharp.
A kept man.
yeah. Exactly. That's the term.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, hopefully. You know, there's no normality that's going to come out of that where, you know, every man is looking to have that. You know, I don't see that.
Right. I don't see that either.
But then on the back side.
You know, the back side of it, I do see a lot of men having an issue with their women making more than them. That definitely is a problem. You know, would be a problem. Most men that are real men, you know, will hurt their ego. Definitely.
Yeah, but they got to suck it up.
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, you don't have to go to school, take a train or anything now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of just being complacent.
Right.
You know, you get on that computer.
Right. Exactly.
Take some courses. Go finish your degree.
There's no substitute for
working hard. There's no substitute for working hard. I don't give a
That's
damn.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Okay. And I'm talking to all men. If you work hard, good things will follow you. It may take a little longer because you're black, but you'll get there.
Right. Unfortunately, it takes a little longer. You're right.
That's right. You have to take more.
That's a fact, Walter. You know that 100%. That is a fact. You got to work 30, 40 years before you see that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a part of, you know, the racism in the States and how they, you know, divide us with salaries, status, titles, throw a title at you, but you don't get the money. You know how that works.
Of course.
Yeah, I've been here.
Yeah, they make you a vice president, and you make $30,000 a year instead of
$3,000.
Yeah, you got a title, but you ain't got no money.
I'm a vice president.
Yeah,
the white boy is making the vice president money.
And you drive, and you're driving around with a Kia. You know, exactly. I mean, come on.
You're
driving around with a kid.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Or you don't have a house. I mean, look, a house always comes before a car. Okay, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, you can't live in a car.
Okay, all right. You know, you get a cheap car, you know, until you get a house.
Right.
Then you can, if you want to splurge a little bit after your kids go to college and this and that.
Right.
You know, and it's just you and your wife. Yeah, then you go out there and you buy that big car. But until then, you have no business driving it.
Right, don't live above your means. You know, you have a car note and you're still living with your parents.
That's it. That's so stupid.
You can't afford to have everything, you know. I mean, you can't afford to do it. Like, my son is thinking about moving. I'm like, listen, you got to figure out all your options here. You have a car note, car insurance. You have a studio. You have 2 rooms here. When you move, you can't take your drums with you. You can't take all your habits with you because other people are not going to deal with that with what your parents deal with.
Right.
So you got to be prepared mentally and financially. So it's funny. I was speaking to one of my good friends, childhood friends, And she's, you know, she called me to tell me her son moved out, but she made him save $20,000 before he moved. You know, I'm telling Justin, you better save 30. You have to have at least a year's rent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As a backup in case anything happens. But on the other side of that, he has a roommate. He can't afford it. So you have to be certain when you're ready to go so you don't have to come back to your parents. Be ready. It's not like when we were coming up, you know, my father, he invested in a property, you know, a three-family house for us to get started in life. You know, how many people can do that now, you know? And the better thing financially is to do an investment in property where you can have something where your family can live and they won't have to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 in rent, and you can all just come together and do that amongst each other where you can live, have your family there, and be able to afford it. It's tough. It's not easy. So you definitely need a two household income, but the woman making more than the man, you know, that can mess a man's mentality up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, just the opposite of what you're saying is that, you know, my son had every opportunity to go to, you know, whatever college he wanted to. My daughter went to University of Miami. I told him, I said, you can go there. You can go to University of Hawaii as long as you get off the island. I don't care where you go. All right? He didn't want to go. He just said, no, 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 no. He said, I'm going to go to school out here. So he, you know, went to the school out here. He always worked, you know. See, he was a graphic design guy. He learned it in high school. So he always worked.
Right.
But he wasn't going to college.
Mm, okay.
Then he didn't want to pay no bill. You know, so
wow.
I said, look, you know, I'm here to support you. If you go to college, good. You can stay here. But just working and not going to college, you can't stay here. Okay?
Yeah.
So he said, oh, well, yeah, all right, all right. Okay, give me a chance. You know what I wound up doing? I found him an apartment. I paid 2 months rent and security.
Yes.
Got the keys. And I took him there, gave him the keys, and said, okay, you got it.
Here
this
you
is
go.
Yours.
This is yours. Got to get him started. Give him that push.
That's it. Yeah. You got to be a man. You know, that was one of the greatest things I did for him.
That's what my brother Chris did with his daughter. She has her first place. They paid, you know, a few months for her. That's it. Get you started. Yeah. And that's a big thing, too, because then they're like, okay, time for me to be a grown-up now, you know. And when they get their own space, they realize, hey, got more freedom, you know.
I couldn't wait. I had my apartment at 19.
Oh,
19.
See, you were early, yeah.
I was 19 years old. I had my first apartment in Brooklyn. My son, he'll be 40.
But no, and we got the apartment for him.
Oh, man, jeez, you got to go back around 2006.
So he was 20 what?
He was 21, 22.
Oh, see. Well, you know, it's different for men, you know?
Yeah, I don't play,
females,
you know?
Like, we didn't move, I didn't move out of my parents' house until I was 25. So females is different.
I was gone. Yeah. I was gone at 16.
But see, that was the South. You know, the South forced you to go.
That's it. There's nothing
different. You know, you've been to a big major city too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's bigger move. You know, that's a big move.
That's right. That's right. Couldn't wait. But anyway, let's get back a little bit to you know, what the topic is for today. I do want to touch upon a few other things. All right. And do you know who the two most powerful Black women are?
I would say Abrams and
by title. Now, let me just qualify that a little bit.
Oh,
by title and position. Right.
Vice President.
Right.
Attorney General.
The Supreme Court.
Ah, yes. Definitely.
The two most powerful Black women by title in this country.
Wow.
All right. Are those two women.
Mm.
But you wouldn't realize, well, maybe with Kamala, but yes, you wouldn't realize that they are both married to white men.
Yes, yes, yes. For long periods of time.
Yeah, they're both married to white men.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that
was amazing.
Can't help who you fall in love with. That's number one. And yeah, sometimes some people marry for status.
Yeah. Well, maybe in Ketanji's situation, there weren't many black men around, so in the office.
Yes.
That were clerking.
That's right.
Yes, he was.
That's right.
You know?
That's just like when you're in college, you go on or high school, you know, you're only black.
But there was an article. There was an article in the New York Post, and they were saying that black women should turn to white men as spouses because there was such a shortage of black men, qualified black men, at a certain level
qualified.
That wow. It could not complement these successful black women.
Wow. Yeah, you can't go.
What do you think of that?
You can't go backwards. I guess, you know, if there's no one in your arena, I'll say, in your field, on the same job, and you're dealing with these people every day, you see them every day, you're not seeing these black men, your same race in your field, in your industry, I can see it happening. Yeah.
Yeah, going back to that Pew Research Center study, where they say 50% less black men are 50% less likely to have a 4-year degree.
Wow. And you know, unless you're in sports, right?
That's it. And there's just so many spots there.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, you know, those statistics are correct. I cannot disagree with that. Yeah. What opportunities do they have? You can't afford it. Your parents can't afford it to send you to college. Unless you're low income getting you could get scholarships and stuff, but how much do they cover? You know, if you're not getting a full ride to school, how are your parents going to pay for this? So what do? You end up going into the workforce saying, oh, I'll go to night school, and it never happens for you because you're too busy working, right? Trying to make a living. You know, it's tough for...
Thank you for listening to the Walt Weekly Podcast with your host, Walter Latham Sr., and co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. The Walt Weekly is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Hair and Skin Care. Major contributors, Clarette Harris and Dina Ramsey from North Carolina. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Walt Weekly, Twitter at Walt Weekly, Podbean, The Walt Weekly, and www.thewaltweekly.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and other streaming platforms.